Welcome to another deep dive into the world of trees, specifically oak trees. We're looking at a study called Regeneration Patterns of Native and Introduced Oak Species in Sweden. It's from Forest Ecology and Management. You know, I find this study fascinating because it really gets into how oaks are doing even at the edge of their range.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. It makes you rethink some of the things you think you know about trees.
So to give everybody a little background, the study was done in southern Sweden. It covers a pretty wide area from like latitude 55 degrees to 61 degrees north. And we'll include a map of that in the show notes so people can see exactly where they were looking at. Now, they weren't looking at like the big old growth oaks or anything like that. They focused on seedlings and saplings, anything up to a meter tall. Basically, they wanted to see how well oaks are regenerating. And they looked at three different species, two native to Sweden, the pedunculate oak and the sessile oak. And then one introduced species, the northern red oak.
Yeah, having those three species in the study is a really nice way to compare how they're each doing, like in terms of regeneration, and whether one has an advantage over the others.
So, you know, I'm picturing like our listener out there, maybe they have a couple oaks on their property, or maybe they just see them when they're out and about. And I bet they've thought about some of these same questions like, do oaks have a harder time growing the further north you go? Or, you know, what about the soil? Do things like moisture and nutrients make a big difference? And does it matter if oaks are growing in a young forest or really old mature forest? This study looks at all of those things.
It does. And some of the answers are pretty surprising. Like, let's start with that question about latitude. You'd think that as you get closer to the northern limit of where a species can grow, things would get tougher. You know, colder temperatures, shorter growing seasons, things like that. And so the researchers thought that oak regeneration would decrease as they went further north.
So it'd be harder for them to make babies, so to speak.
Exactly. But that's not what they found. There was no decline in oak regeneration with latitude. Seems like those oaks are holding their own, even up north.
So they're doing better than expected.
That's one way to look at it.
Yeah.
It suggests that oaks might be more resilient than we give them credit for.
More adaptable to different conditions.
Right. But it's not just about where the oaks are growing. It's also about what they're growing in.
Yeah.
And that's where the soil gets interesting.
Okay, soil. You know how important moisture and nitrogen are for plant growth, right? So this next finding really surprised me. Oak regeneration actually decreased with increasing moisture and nitrogen in the soil.
I know it seems kind of counterintuitive.
Yeah.
We usually think more nutrients means more growth. But with oak seedlings, it's not that straightforward.
So are you telling me we should avoid fertilizing oaks? That goes against everything I thought I knew.
Well, it's not quite that black and white. But this study does suggest that too much nitrogen might be a bad thing, at least for young oaks that are trying to get established. There's a couple possible reasons for this.
Okay. I'm listening.
First, you've got to think about competition. If you have a ton of nitrogen in the soil, all kinds of plants are going to love that. And they might crowd out the oak seedlings before they can get going.
So the little oaks can't compete with the fast-growing weeds or whatever's there?
Pretty much. There's actually some good research that shows how competition can hinder oak growth.
Oh, really?
Yeah, from back in 1990 by Kolbensteiner, and more recently by Jensen and others in 2011. We'll make sure to include those in the show notes.
Cool, yeah, definitely. So it sounds like oak seedlings need some space to themselves.
Yeah, you could say that. And then another thing to consider is that seedlings might have different needs than mature trees, just like a baby needs different food than an adult. Maybe oak seedlings do better in a less rich environment.
Makes sense. It's like that Goldilocks thing. Not too much, not too little, just the right amount of nutrients.
Yeah, exactly.
So what would you say to someone like me who's trying to grow some oaks? Should I stay away from fertilizer altogether?
I'd be cautious about over-fertilizing. Especially in areas where you're trying to get new oaks established. Remember, this study focused on regeneration. So those early years are super important. Once the oaks get bigger, they're probably more able to compete.
Oh, so less fertile soil might actually be better in the beginning.
For young oaks.
Yeah,
seems that way.
Wow. Okay. So let's talk about the age of the oak stand. Did that affect regeneration at all?
It did. And this one's maybe a little less surprising. Older oak stands tended to have more seedlings. Seems like those mature forests are really good at fostering new oak growth.
So if I have a mature oak on my property, it might actually be helping the younger oaks around it?
Could be.
Why is that?
Well, it could be that older trees produce more seeds. There's a study from 1994 by Herrera and others that kind of supports that idea.
Oh, interesting.
But it's probably not just about the number of seeds. Think about the environment under those old trees. They've been dropping leaves for decades, building up that layer of leaf litter. which helps retain moisture and creates a nice, rich environment for seedlings.
So they're setting up the nursery for the next generation.
That's a good way to put it.
Cool. Now, what about that introduced species, the northern red oak? I know you said the researchers looked at how well it was regenerating. How did it do?
It actually did pretty well. All three species showed successful regeneration.
Okay, so they're all making babies, so to speak. But is one doing better than the others?
It seems like the sessile oak might have a slight advantage. And then the northern red oak, while it did regenerate successfully, it kind of raises some questions about its impact on the native species.
So is that a problem?
Well, it could be. You know, sometimes when we introduce a non-native species, even if we don't mean for it to be invasive, it can become a problem.
Like it takes over.
It might start to outcompete the native species for resources, sunlight, water, nutrients, that kind of thing.
It could change the whole ecosystem.
Right. And in this study, the researchers specifically pointed to the northern red oak's regeneration as a potential area of concern.
So it's something to watch. Okay, I'll keep that in mind. So we've got these oaks doing better than expected up north. We've got this weird thing with the soil. And then we've got this introduced species that we need to keep an eye on.
Yep. That's a pretty good summary.
Well, but wait, before we move on, there was one other really interesting finding in this study. And it has to do with an island.
An island?
An island.
Right. Okay, this I gotta hear.
So this island is called Blåljungfrun. And it's in the Baltic Sea, off the coast of Sweden. And get this, there are no deer on the island. And no rodents either.
No deer. Wow, that's wild.
I know, right?
But why is that important for the oaks?
Well, remember how we were talking about competition? Deer and rodents love to eat acorns and oak seedlings. They're like little acorn predators.
Ah, so on this island, the oaks don't have to worry about that.
Exactly. The researchers found way higher oak regeneration on Blåljungfrun than at any of their mainland study sites.
So it's like an oak paradise out there.
Pretty much.
No predators, just perfect growing conditions.
Yep.
Wow.
It really shows how important those seed predators are.
Yeah, they're playing a big role in determining which seedlings survive.
Survival of the fittest out there.
You got it.
And this actually ties in nicely with that 2004 study by Cote and others that we talked about before, about the impact of herbivores on oak regeneration. We'll link to that one in the show notes too.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground here. Oaks doing well up north, soil nutrients being a little bit counterintuitive, older stands being good for new growth, and then the impact of herbivores like deer. So what does it all mean for the future of these oak forests?
Well, on the one hand, this study gives us some reason to be optimistic. The fact that oak regeneration is happening across a range of latitudes. And those older stands are doing such a good job of creating new growth. It suggests that these forests might be more resilient than we thought.
So they're better equipped to handle things like climate change?
Yeah, potentially. But there are also some challenges that we need to be aware of. And one of those is that introduced northern red oak that we've been talking about. Right. I remember you saying we should keep an eye on it. But I'm still not clear on why it's such a concern. I mean, it's an oak, right? Oaks are good for the ecosystem.
True. But it's not a native oak.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the problem lies. Sometimes when a non-native species is introduced, it can become invasive.
Like it takes over and pushes out the native species.
Yeah, basically. If the northern red oak starts to dominate, it could crowd out those native pedunculate and sessile oaks, and that would reduce the diversity of the forest.
And diversity is a good thing, right?
Exactly. Biodiversity is super important for a healthy ecosystem.
Why is that?
Well, for one thing, it makes the ecosystem more resilient to change.
Like a more diverse forest can handle more stress.
Exactly, if you have a monoculture, where you just have one dominant species.
It's much more vulnerable to things like pests, diseases, climate change. But a diverse forest with a bunch of different species, it's more likely to be able to cope with those kinds of things.
So it's like having a backup plan.
You could say that.
And plus, a diverse forest is just more interesting.
Oh, absolutely. Who wants to see the same tree over and over again?
Right. It would be so boring.
So what do we do about this northern red oak situation? Well, the researchers in the study recommended long-term monitoring. We need to keep an eye on how it's spreading and how it's interacting with the native oaks. And if it starts to show signs of becoming invasive, we might need to take action.
Like try to get rid of it.
Potentially. But it can be really tough to remove an established species. So it's usually better to focus on prevention.
Like being careful about what we plant in the first place.
Exactly.
So think before you plant.
Definitely.
Make sure you're choosing native species.
Yeah.
Ones that aren't likely to become invasive.
And the researchers also stress the importance of more research. on oak regeneration in general. There's still a lot we don't know about how these trees respond to different environmental factors.
So we're still learning.
Always learning.
That's cool. So if I'm out for a walk in the woods and I see an oak tree, what are some things I can look for to see how it's doing in terms of regeneration? Well, first of all, look around the base of the tree. Do you see any seedlings?
Okay.
If so, how many are there? Are they clustered near the trunk or more spread out? That can give you some clues about how well the tree is reproducing and how well those seedlings are surviving.
Okay, cool.
And you can also look at the overall health of the tree. Is it tall and vigorous? Does it have a full crown of leaves? Or does it look stressed or diseased?
So I can be a citizen scientist just by paying attention to the trees.
Exactly. And your observations can actually be really helpful. Scientists are always looking for more data, especially when it comes to long-term monitoring of tree populations.
That's awesome.
There are even citizen science projects where you can submit your observations and help researchers track the health of forests across the country.
Wow, that's great. I'd love to get involved in something like that.
And it's not just about the science. It's also about connecting with nature. When you start paying attention to the trees, you start to appreciate them in a whole new way.
It's like they become more than just trees.
Right. They each have their own story to tell.
Yeah, I like that. So this deep dive has been really fascinating. I've learned so much about oaks and about all the factors that affect their survival. And you know, it's made me think about something else too.
Oh yeah.
We were talking about how oaks are doing better than expected up north at the edge of their range. And we know the climate is changing. Things are getting warmer. So what if oaks start moving even further north into areas where they haven't grown for thousands of years? What could that mean for the other plants and animals that live there?
That's a really interesting question. And it's something that ecologists are thinking about a lot these days. As the climate changes, we're seeing all sorts of species shifting their ranges.
Yeah, it's like a big game of musical chairs.
Right. And it's hard to predict how it's all going to shake out.
Especially when you have all these different species interacting with each other.
Exactly. And it makes it really challenging to figure out what the long-term impacts of climate change are going to be.
On biodiversity and stuff.
Yeah. But it's super important that we try to understand these things so we can make informed decisions about conservation.
Yeah, because we don't want to mess things up by trying to fix them.
Right. But we also don't want to just stand by and do nothing. If there's something we can do to help.
It's this balance.
It is. And sometimes we have to make decisions with incomplete information.
Which is never easy.
But the one thing we can't do is ignore the problem.
Yeah, we have to stay informed.
Exactly. And be proactive about monitoring these changes and doing research and figuring out ways to adapt.
I know all that is important, but sometimes it just feels overwhelming. Like there's so much going on in the world. It's hard to know where to even start.
I hear you. It can definitely feel that way. But remember, even small actions can make a difference.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. You don't have to be a scientist or a politician to have an impact.
Okay, how so?
Just by learning about these issues and sharing what you've learned with others and making conscious choices in your own life, you're helping to raise awareness.
So it's about being mindful.
Yeah. And spreading the word.
Okay, I can do that.
And remember, nature is pretty resilient.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Even when things are tough, life finds a way. Just look at those oaks in Sweden. Growing at the edge of their range, adapting to all sorts of challenges. It's pretty inspiring.
Yeah, it is. This whole deep dive has been really inspiring. I've learned so much about oaks and forests and about how we can help protect the planet.
That's great to hear.
I'm definitely going to be looking at trees differently from now on.
Awesome. Well, thanks for joining me on this deep dive.
Thanks for having me.
And for all of you listening out there, be sure to check out the show notes for all the links and stuff we talked about. And until next time, happy exploring.